This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Juliet Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj.
And it's Banned Books Week this week, held annually to highlight censorship in literature. So we're going to do a Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah on the week and also discuss if the censorship of books is ever justified.
And this week is also the 25th anniversary of the wildly popular TV show Friends. So we take a look back at it and ask, how you doing?
You just had to, didn't you?
I had to do it.
And since this is the one where we revisit Friends, we're asking you on Twitter, do you still enjoy television shows that you watched when you were younger? You can take our BFM poll. Your options are yes, no, or I've outgrown them. And you can join our conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So before we get to our first story, here's The Rebel Spell by Mano Negra.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was The Rebel Spell by Mano Negra.
So it is Banned Books Week, which is running from the 22nd until the 28th of September. And the aim of the week is to point the public eye towards books that have been challenged and banned from collections or brought to courts and even in some cases burned. This year's theme proclaims, censorship leaves us in the dark, and urges everyone to keep the lights on.
So typically the Banned Books Week is held during the last week of September. And this annual event started in 1982, which was the same year that the US Supreme Court ruled that students' First Amendment rights were violated when Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five and eight other books were removed from school libraries. But despite this legal precedent, schools and libraries still receive formal challenges to remove books from their shelves or nix them from reading lists, so as to protect children from material that some people see as inappropriate.
So just to spell out the legalese here, a challenge is an attempt to remove or restrict materials based upon the objections of a person or of a group. Mm-hmm. A banning is a complete removal of those materials. Mm. So while books have been and continue to be banned, part of the Banned Books Week celebration is the fact that in a majority of cases, the books have remained available.
Yeah.
The organizers believe this happens only thanks to the efforts of librarians, teachers, students, and community members who stand up and speak out for the freedom to read.
So, I mean, according to the American Library Association, in 2018, more than half the books that drew complaints did so because they contained LGBTQIA+ content, and other reasons included profanity, sexually explicit content, religious viewpoints, and materials that candidly portray injustices and inequality experienced by people of color.
I can understand all the ones that you mentioned except the last one.
So I think it was maybe making a joke of it, or perhaps, you know, I'm not sure.
But I also think that sometimes it can be some of James Baldwin's books, for instance, mm-hmm. even though they are held up as being very indicative of that kind of injustice, were banned or challenged because they were just considered too intense.
Mm. Or too real.
Too real, yeah.
So even if it was a work of fiction.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
But of course, this was in the past.
Right.
I'm not sure in the present what kind of books end up on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this in 2018, the most challenged book was something called George by Alex Gino, which it's been banned, it's been challenged, it's even been relocated.
Poor book.
Because it was believed to encourage children to clear browser history, change their bodies using hormones, and for mentioning quote-unquote dirty magazines, describing male anatomy and, again, creating confusion and including a transgender character.
Hmm. Yeah, I think one of the threads that connects a lot of these is that they do tend to be books that are seen as influencing young minds.
The young minds, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Even The Adventures of Captain Underpants has made the list.
That shocked me.
Yes. It was written and illustrated by Dave Pilkey. And the series was challenged because it was perceived as encouraging disruptive behavior. While Captain Underpants and the sensational saga of Sir Stinks-a-Lot was was challenged for including a same-sex couple.
Yeah. That's a title if, and a half, if ever.
If ever.
So one that caught my eye on the list is The Kite Runner by Khalid Hosseini. And it was challenged because it includes sexual violence and was thought to, quote, lead to terrorism and, quote, promote Islam. It has been banned or challenged in 5 US states and was the 4th most challenged book of 2017.
Wow.
I would have reckoned that it was probably one of the most widely read books as well
precisely.
Of that year.
Yeah, and so even Khalid Hosseini, he, you know, wrote in a piece in The Guardian how shocked he was, and he couldn't quite fathom it. He couldn't understand why. But again, it was these issues, too much, I suppose, Islamization happening, perhaps. So I think this happened a lot in America.
So from a particular point of view, right?
It came across as that. And I think we all know some of the other notable titles are like Harry Potter, the whole Harry Potter series by J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. I mean, lots of schools have banned those. The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. The Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie, something that's banned here as well. Mm-hmm. George Orwell's Animal Farm, and even Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of classics, actually. Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird and Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Yep.
And those two titles have kind of fallen out of favor despite being, you know, all the award winning and, you know, critically acclaimed, because modern readers are actually objecting to the racial slurs used towards the story's African-American characters.
Right.
And, you know, these critics of these bans have challenged the need to adjust historical works to modern sensibilities and warned that, you know, these kind of actions really warp kids' understanding of the past. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I would never support the banning of a book.
Yeah.
And even if the book is problematic, even if it is true that the book might have perspectives or ways of speaking or ways of treating people that no longer has a place in modern society, I think it's a pity to hide them away, because even children need to know that things weren't always the way they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a failure of the system if they're not discussing these books. The problem is not that the books are there. The problem is that they're not being taught properly.
Exactly. I mean, books, you know, books, writing, poems, everything was written from a specific point of view at a specific point in time, right? You look at somebody like Subramanya Bharathi, who was considered, you know, one of India's greatest writers. When he started writing in the late 1800s, his books and his short stories were banned by the British because they were considered to be counterculture and talked about casteism and things like that. And yet he is today acknowledged as one of the finest writers India has produced.
So the question is, isn't the question always who is doing the banning?
Exactly.
Because what's the agenda behind the ban, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of agendas, here in Malaysia, the Home Ministry website kindly provides a list of banned books that you can view on their website. And if you'd like to have a look, that's at epq.kdn.gov.my. Currently, there are 1,712 titles listed. The latest book to be banned is, Juliet, are you making this one
I
up?
I am not.
It's the one titled Infernal Goat Trashing Aggression by the Evil Dead Production.
So there's no author listed. It's just Evil Dead Production.
I mean, I feel like anything with that title.
Yeah.
How can anyone not be curious what that's about?
I mentioned this to a colleague and he said, musty metal. That's the ban.
All I can think is poor goat.
Right?
Oh, and the first book that was banned all the way back in 1971 was Mao Zedong's Young Agong Adalah Gilang Gamilang.
I really need to find this.
What is this about?
I can't find anything about
it. So, you know, comics don't escape it, by the way. Censored comics here include the graphic novel It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken, Ultraman the Ultra Power, and The Best of Drawn and Quarterly. I'm sure that there are reasons stated why these were banned. There's censorship of nonfiction works, right? It includes academic works such as Mao, A Life and Making Globalization Work, as well as a host of books dealing with human bodies and sexuality, such as The Vagina Monologues, Breastfeeding Your Baby, Revised Edition, and How to Talk to Your Child About Sex.
The fact that the Vagina Monologues box is next to breastfeeding your baby. It's just so wrong. These are two completely different subjects.
Yes, but you know, they all fit into that category of scary sex things.
Maybe just the word vagina and the word breast.
Yes.
Wait, is that a real category? Scary sex things.
I like to imagine that it is. You know, back in 2006, 56 publications were banned by the Internal Security Ministry, including the Indonesian translation of Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species.
I feel really strongly about this one. To ban a book, and yes, I know the whole argument. We all are aware of the creationism argument versus biology and evolution, but to ban a seminal work.
But interesting, right? That it's the Indonesian translation that's the banned version. Mm-mm. Because the English version is still available in bookstores.
Exactly.
So there are particular ways in which this is passed that can pan out to be quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, on that note, you know, of, you know, languages being banned based on its language, I mean, someone who has experience with book banning in Malaysia is our very own Ezra Zayed, who runs ZI Publications. He was arrested, you know, back in 2012 for allegedly publishing and distributing material that contravened Sharia law. And this, of course, was in relation to Irshad Manji's book, Allah Kebebasan dan Cinta, or in English title, Allah, Liberty and Love. So I caught up with Ezra earlier today, and here he is sharing what happened back in 2012 and what has transpired since.
7.5 years ago, my company at the time, ZI Publications, we were an independent book publisher, and at the time we were in the business of doing a lot of translation work. So we would look at the New York Times best-selling list and pick a few titles that would potentially resonate with a Malay language audience here in Malaysia. We would look to the Middle East. We would do all sorts of different things and try to get that kind of content to Malay language audiences here. And it felt there was a disparity between what was available in English, what was available in Malay. So we wanted to sort of try and attack that market. And so you pick a few titles and you publish them. And one of the titles that we did publish at the time was a book called Allah, Liberty and Love by Irshad Manji. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did a translation of it. And subsequently, quite quickly after that, an employee from Borders Bookstore got arrested from the religious officials in KL. And subsequently, my office got raided and I was arrested. The books were seized and I was detained you know, shortly thereafter by the officials in Selangor. And, you know, you come to terms after that the book was banned on the same day and all of these sort of legalities kick in. And so, you know, since then it's been a process, not just for myself, but for many, many other book publishers or booksellers, you know, this constant harassment by the authorities that be about what can and what shouldn't be allowed in the public domain. And I think more than anything else, it creates this environment where somebody else is dictating what you can and can't read and what information you should and shouldn't be exposed to. And I think that's a slippery slope. If you've seen anything through history, that can be quite damaging.
Yeah, and I think the ironic thing here was that Irshad Manji's book was available in English,
yeah,
and that was not banned, right?
Sure.
It was only when it was translated into Malay that it was banned.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when the ban got overturned, you know, there are all sorts of very interesting rulings that, you know, you try and sort of reconcile with that. So the Malay book that I translated, the ban was overturned, which was terrific. But the ban in English was still retained. And simply because I think the understanding was that the English publisher didn't challenge the ban itself. So I was like, okay, I mean, and there are so many interesting nuances about how the law works. And I think you only know where the limits are if you challenge them. And so that's what I've been involved with for the past 7.5 years. And yesterday was a big day where, you know, with all the ramifications of what would undertake within the Sharia courts for myself, a court of appeal decision made sure that everything that was related to that was quashed. And so I'm on the path towards being a freer man, but you know, I'm familiar now with how these things work. That you don't quite
celebrate
yet. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So I mean, you're, like you said, you're on the path to Because it's been, what, 7.5 years, and you know, it's taken a toll on, I'm sure, you, your family, I mean, even the company itself.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, since then, even when we got the book overturned, I was still very much an active publisher. And, you know, we had difficulties because it created a sense of distrust just because of how the laws work in the country. They're aware that they're limitations about reputation, about, oh, are you the bookseller that carried that publisher's other title? And then it changes your relationship with the printers because the laws in Malaysia are such that the printers are also held liable. That's why when you open to the imprint page of any book, you see where the book has been printed. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. That's because that's legal. And so they can go after not just the printers, not just the publishers, not just the authors. There's a wide variety of mechanisms in which state or federal governments can apply pressure towards making sure that some of these books don't hit the stands. But of course, you know, I mean, it's not just these type of non-fiction books. I mean, I think SpongeBob SquarePants has been on the wrong end of it. I think Charles Darwin has been on the end of it. I think
Captain Underpants.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not saying that you know, we're unique in any way. I think there's something inherently maybe misguided and antiquated about the entire approach of how this happens. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to relook at it because I think now more than anything else, people are reading more and more, except we're reading more on our screens, and that's a different type of reading.
Exactly.
But I think by and large, the idea of books being banned it just doesn't quite apply in a country like Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that it can ever be justified that, you know, the ones, let's say the ones spreading fake news or just outright hate? I mean, is that justified then? Should those books be banned?
You know, from the position that I sit, I don't think books should ever be banned because I'm always of the belief that I guess the market sorts itself out, except that in an era of fake news, when the market sorts itself out, the market seems to believe that sort of fake news, which then creates this net effect of being prejudicial to public order and all of these other things that you see, you know, where the law is trying to make sure that it doesn't create this negative net effect on society. And I think when it comes to opinions and such, long story short, I think the answer is no. And I think simply because we're seeing how we regulate our content online. And I think books, the ones who actually do want to write it, the discipline and process is so much more rigorous that a lot of thought has been put into. And even if it doesn't meet the standard, I don't know if it will be harmful to it. And I think it just sort of goes back to the harm principle of whether, you know, any type of writing does any harm to anyone. And I think, you know, we've seen so many books in so many different territories have different effects about. So I remember reading somewhere that Animal Farm would have such a strong negative impact in a territory, in a county somewhere in America, which would seem counterintuitive, but, you know, it does happen, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got some great Malaysian authors, Malaysian writers where, you know, written some great literary works, but then they're banned and you're going, well, but why? And I think it's really up to the audiences to come to terms with it. And I think that there's enough maturity, I think, now, and I think there's enough knowledge out there for one to process something and to challenge themselves and challenge others about what's being put in front of them.
Yeah, because you don't have to like it, but I mean, to completely ban it, that's just an insult on everyone's intelligence.
Yes, absolutely. And also, it does begin the slippery slope about whether an institution or a governing body can decide about what is good and what is not good for you. And if they can decide that, then, you know, they can decide on a lot of other things. And I think we've worked hard at walking away from that kind of situation. And we've been able to do so with the right type of discourse. And in this country, you know, what we've seen over the past 12 to 16 months is indicative of how you can argue, you can debate, you can reason, and you can walk in different directions, irrespective of not completely agreeing with one another.
So, I mean, just to quickly conclude, you know, what banned or challenged books would you like to personally recommend?
What banned or challenged books? Challenged is an interesting word. Look, I think it's probably going to be something as basic as Animal Farm, simply because my entire career of being a publisher and now being sort of a content creator right now. I was never a books person. I was always much more of an Archie Comics kind of guy. I was never Hardy Boys. I was never Enid Blyton. I think somewhere in university, I think Animal Farm was part of the reading list. And I was sort of quite hesitant, but I saw the word animal on it. And it was basically true to its word. There were animals. Yeah. There was conflict. There were power plays. There was philosophy in it. And I said, hang on, is this what a book is supposed to be? And it really opened up my mind to looking at things in different ways. And what a wonderful technique that George Orwell utilized. Just, and it's so simple. That's the wonderful thing about writing is that you can place familiar circumstances and experiences in different characters or in different beings, that you anthropomorphize them a little bit. But suddenly it's just a more HBO Showtime version of The Little Mermaid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So that was Ezra Zayed, BFM's head of digital and new media, and he's also the director of ZI Publications. So he was talking about, you know, his experiences of being arrested and locked in a long legal battle, you know, over 7 years now for charges related to publishing and distributing the Allah Kebebasan dan Cinta book by Irshad Manji. So, I mean, just going back to the whole banned books week, you know, part of it is to celebrate banned books, you know, and the organizers, I can't speak properly, encourage
people.
You
don't read enough, Julie.
Apparently not. they encourage people, you know, all over the world to have banned books get-togethers, you know, and just to read these books and to talk about them, to discuss why they were banned, why not. And I was just thinking, you know, if you could give your pick as well, what would your pick be for banned or challenge books that you think are worth reading?
This is a book that I'm always conflicted about because I both love it and hate it in equal measure. Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. Mm-hmm. It's been banned in many places around the world. It's still heavily contested in libraries, in many schools. Because of the subject matter, the fact that it's the story of a older pedophilic man who preys on a very young girl. Mm. However, the way it's written and the revulsion you feel when you read it and just the language and the skill with which Nabokov writes it, I think it's definitely a classic of modern literature and absolutely worth reading, even just to get you to confront some very, very difficult things about life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with V.S. Naipaul's An Area of Darkness. When it first came out, it was, I think Naipaul, it was his first visit to his ancestral homeland. He wrote this travelogue about his journey through the country, and it was promptly banned by the Indian government for being deeply pessimistic about India and its people. In fact, what they said was that we don't like it because of its negative portrayal of India. And you should read it because, number one, I think travel writing is a great way to travel without leaving your home. Mm-hmm. But also it underlines the point that we've been talking about, that people banning books based on a knee-jerk reaction or emotional connect is dangerous. Yeah. This is one man, one Nobel Prize-winning man's opinion of traveling through a country. To ban a book like that, to me, is just churlish.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you have one, Julia?
I actually wanted to go with something simple like the Harry Potter series because I know so many people personally, parents who have, you know, basically banned their children from reading it because of religious, you know, whatever religious reasons they have. But the kind of, I mean, we read it as semi-children. We're not that
older in my case.
Yeah, same. So, you know, kind of imagine how it, you know, sparks your imagination, you know, just makes you think so differently. It helped with my writing as well. There was just so many things that came off it that was so helpful as a younger person reading it. I really think it's helpful for children.
So, we do talk about this in next week's Buy the Book. That's the other show that I'm on with my co-host Lee Chui Lin. Next week on Tuesday at 8 p.m., we sort of touch on this idea of separating the politics of the author from the book itself.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, and so a lot of talk about books that were very controversial and books that people say you shouldn't read. So do tune into that if you'd like to hear more about this. You can also continue to tweet us if you have thoughts on banning books. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 0187 789 8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. We will be back after a short break, but first, here's The Book Lovers by Broadcast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.